In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. On the way to church today, I did something that I don't normally do. I turned the radio on. Usually I ride to church in silence, but I wanted to listen to a news station and hear about what's going on up in Northeast, as many of us are curious. And after the news presentation, there was a political ad on the radio. Now, this is not a political comment, but just an actual religious comment that was made in the political ad. One of the people who's campaigning for office says they're in Florida, they're making a speech about how the people in Washington don't get it, the people have spoken, they don't get it, and so now there's an earthquake there, and then a hurricane, and because the people have not gotten their message through, God is sending his wrath there to get his message through, more or less. Now, while I don't agree with most anything going on in Washington these days, this political ad is not correct theologically. God does not send his wrath on people through hurricanes and earthquakes. So what's going on in the Northeast today, some people, especially insurance companies, will call that an act of God. Actually, it's not an act of God. It's an act of a fallen humanity. What do I mean by that? Let's say that we're all perfect people in the church. We're having a nice conversation. And somebody comes in to the church, they spray aerosol in here, and now we have imperfect air. And we're all breathing that imperfect air. And there's a consequence of breathing that imperfect air for all of us, even if we're perfect people. There's still a consequence for that. Somebody's going to get a runny nose. Someone's going to get a sore throat. Someone's going to start coughing. Right? That's not an act of God on sinful people. It's an act of an outside force on perfect people. Right now, collectively, our society is not perfect. Everybody is imperfect. Everybody sins. And so we have a world that lives in a state of imperfection. And because the world lives in a state of imperfection, then imperfect things happen here. Imperfect people make mistakes. They harm other people. Imperfect people make bad choices, harm themselves. And imperfect nature creates imperfect things, like hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, lightning strikes that harm people, birth defects, bad gene pools, etc., etc. Right, these are not acts of God or wrath of God, but rather a fallen humanity that we all share. So when people say, why do bad things happen to people? My answer for that simply is, we are equal sharers of an imperfect nature, and that imperfect nature is going to harm each of us in a certain way. There's nobody on this earth that is going to be unharmed by the imperfect nature. We're all going to be harmed by that in some way or another at some time. And that's not the wrath of God, but rather the consequence of living in an imperfect world. In God's world, in God's kingdom, for those who are fortunate enough to inherit God's kingdom, there will not be any of these elements of the fallen humanity. There will not be any sicknesses. There will not be any bad decisions. There will not be any bad people making bad decisions. And there will not be natural disasters. There will just be a state of perfection, paradise, and peace in God's world. This is how we answer the question of why these things happen. I wanted to make a couple comments on the subject of forgiveness, which is the subject of the gospel lesson this morning. Let me say very quickly, every human being is created in God's image and likeness. Everybody. That's why when God says the greatest commandments are love God and love your neighbor as yourself, we're really loving our neighbor in the same way that we love God, because God is each of us. So when we sin against our neighbor, we are sinning against God himself. So, if I commit 10 sins against Michael, and I commit 10 sins against Victoria, and I commit 10 sins against John, I have now committed 30 sins against God. Now let's say that Michael returns the favor, and he sins against me 10 times. If I cannot forgive him 10 times, then how can I expect God to forgive me 30 times? Again, I have racked up 30 sins against God. And that's the gist of the parable today. In the parable we heard in the gospel lesson, a man owes his king 10,000 talents, which is an enormous amount of money. More money than anyone could hope to make in their lifetime. And he could not pay that, obviously. So he got on his knees and he said to the king, please have patience with me and I will pay. Now the king could have said, no, you're lying. You can never pay. This is more money than anybody could ever have. He didn't even say you're lying. He said, I forgive you the whole debt. He didn't put him on a payment plan. He didn't say, I'll put you on 29.9% APR so that you 10,000 pounds to become, you know, 25,000 pounds by the time you're paying it, which you never can do anyway. He said, I just forgive you all the debt. Then the man turned around, and on his journey home, he was in such gratitude that he saw one of his servants that owed him 100 denarii. That's like $100 on $10,000. Nothing. And he took that man and seized him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And the man said, have pity on me and I will pay you back. The man said, no, you will go to prison with all your family until you can pay the debt. Which, of course, you could not go to prison. So the king heard the story from one of the man's servants, what had happened. He brought the man back and said, what's your problem? I forgave you all that debt. More than you could ever pay, and you could not forgive a small amount that this man owed you. So now you will go to jail, because you could not forgive your brother in the same way that I forgave you. And the moral of the story is, this is how God is going to treat us if we do not forgive our brother our heart. We are reminded of this story every time we offer the Lord's Prayer. God, we offer the prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means, forgive us, O Lord, in the same way that we forgive one another. In the same way, if we forgive easily, God will forgive us easily. If we retain anger against others, God is going to retain anger against us. Many of us are familiar with the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. This also reminds us to forgive in the same way that we hope to be forgiven. If we forgive easily, then we can expect to be forgiven easily. We have a hard time forgiving, others will have a hard time forgiving us. Forgiveness is a difficult proposition in the world. Why is that? Because the simple I'm sorry always has a but, I had a reason. It always has a mitigating circumstance. So we don't say, I'm sorry, I blew it. We say, I'm sorry, but I had a reason. And the response should be, I forgive you with an embrace. The response is, I forgive you, but I will never forget, or I want restitution, or I'll see you in court, and I'll exact what's right in your mind. So when we apologize, instead of apologizing and taking responsibility, we apologize and excuse. And instead of forgiving and love, we forgive but we keep a record. The Psalms say, if you, Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand before you? God added up all of my iniquities, I might as well just stop now. I'm just laid out and say, just send me to the other place because I have certainly committed more sins than anyone could commit and still hope to go to heaven. Lots of times when I do counseling with married couples or between children and parents or even between friends, it seems that everybody keeps a scorecard of transgressions. Sit down and start to talk and say, you know, what's the problem? Well, you didn't so-and-so thing. Then out comes the book. Well, 5 years ago, you did so-and-so thing. And out comes the other book. Well, 8 years ago, you did so-and-so thing. Yeah, well, that's not the best time to do so-and-so thing. I said, well, we're not going to get anywhere unless people put the scorebook away. Because if you add up all things to the scorebook, then this situation is hopeless. The only way the situation can possibly be resolved is if we start taking things out of the scorebook. And less than the score from 100 to 100, or 150 to 145, and make the score back down to 0 to 0. So let's talk briefly about the words associated with forgiveness. And this is not an extreme example, like forgiving someone who's killed your child, or ruined your reputation, or broke the law, or burned down your house. I'm talking about forgiving the common, everyday things that occur in friendship, that occur in marriage, that occur in a working relationship, or that occur in a church community. Because, yes, there are grudges held in every church community. I hear, 4 years ago, the social family was angry with the social family. And they still are angry with each other. They don't invite each other to their weddings. Their grandchildren don't invite the other people's grandchildren to the weddings. And then the grandchildren say, why don't we get along with these people? Well, yeah, I don't want to get along with their yeah, but we don't even know why. We just know that the Papadopoulos family, hates the Papadopoulos family. All right? That works in every church community. That's sad. It's not a church community. So let's see words that have something to do with forgiveness. Sincerity. When you offer an apology, there should be some depth to it. Not that I'm sorry. But something more than that. An expression of some sincerity, some depth. There needs to be some kind of contrition. Genuine remorse. I am sorry. Look someone in the eye. I am sorry. There needs to be some kind of restitution. You're not saying paying out dollars, you're saying a sense of finding right or wrong. I am sorry. Let me find a way to make it up to you. And there needs to be repentance, which is a plan to change the future. And on the other side, the person who's been wrong, there needs to be trust. He's got to believe the person that's apologizing. I'm really sorry. And very, very important, you have to offer them a roadmap back to restoration. Forgiveness doesn't have to be offered right away, but you need to offer a roadmap back. Like, I have wronged you, yes, Father, I have a hard time forgiving you, but, if we try so-and-so thing for the next 3 months, 6 months, or if we can do these 3 things, I think our relationship would be back on the road to recovery. So offer a roadmap back. And ultimately, we have to offer restoration, the same way that the Father offered restoration to the prodigal son. And this is especially important in the case of spouses, children, and close friends. They're asking some restoration back to the relationship the way that it was. The most important factor in this process is really trust. Trust that two people can work things out. A trust that a contrite apology will not be met in a harsh judgment on the part of the person apologizing. A trust that the person who has been wrong will see the offending behavior correctly and will see an effort. God offers us a roadmap back for us, whether it's prayer, confession, or repentance. He offers a roadmap back to complete body out of sin. And if God offers this to us, then what do we offer to each other? We have to offer each other a roadmap back as well. Especially if we want God to forgive us in the same way that we have forgiven others. So, what was the challenge of 3 weeks ago? Anyone remember the first challenge I gave 3 weeks ago? Be on time. Okay, y'all get past it. And the weather was poor. Next week, when the weather was good, there's no reason not to be at church at 10 o'clock. Right? I'm sure the people in New Jersey wish they were at church at 11 o'clock, or any time today. So be glad that our challenge is going away. Come to church next Sunday at 10 o'clock. What was the second challenge I gave 3 weeks ago? What was it?
Prayer.
How long? 10 minutes. Or as long as you're in the shower. Whichever is longer. You take short showers like rains, and 10 minutes of prayer. You take long showers, longer prayer. And the challenge for this week is this. It has to do with forgiveness, but you don't have to forgive. If you're really mad. You don't have to forgive just yet. Talk to someone you are mad at. Start off with a simple hello. You don't have to just make up the speech. You don't have to extend forgiveness. Just make the first step down the road back. Just say hello to someone that you don't like very much. Someone who doesn't like you very much. Just say hello. Start the process, the road back. But these are not very hard challenges, right? You come to church on time, you can all do that. You can all find 10 minutes a day to pray. And we can all find in our heart to say hello to someone that we haven't said hello to in a while. right? Today, we keep in our prayers those who are affected by this.